We're continuing our series sa ating summer ng pag-aaral sa Book of Psalms, or we call Summer in the Psalms. Last week, we studied Psalm chapter 9, at ito po yung other side of the coin. We have learned na itong Psalm chapter 9 at saka Psalm chapter 10 have been debated toward the ages na isang psalm lang, but we believe through the theologians that are before us believe that these are two different psalms. Ang Psalm 10 ay may close relationship structurally sa Psalm 9. Both psalms mention yung interest sa mga naaapi. Pareho po ay nabanggit yung salitang times of trouble sa passage sa chapters na yon. Both called God to arise para makatulong sa kanilang present predicament. At pareho ay may kumpiyansa na ang Diyos mismo ay hindi malilimutan ang mga naaapi. Such sweet promise. Bagamat ang chapter 9 ay isang praise psalm, ang chapter 10 naman ay isang psalm of lament o panaghoy o isang pagluluksa. Apat na beses po nabanggit yung salitang wicked dito sa passage na to, or evildoers sa chapter 10. Ang mga wicked na ito ay pinagsasamantalahan ang mga naaapi. Inaabuso ang mga mahihirap at mahihina at kinakawawa ang mga mananampalataya kay Yahweh. At ang masakit pa dito, yung mga masasamang mga tao na ito ay nagiging prosperous pa ang kanilang pamumuhay. Mas lalo po sila nagiging masagana, ika nga. And dahil po dyan, ang pakiramdam ng ang mga anak ng Diyos ng time ni David is they are really frustrated. They are angry. They are disheartened. Bakit nangyayari ito? And probably tempted to take matters into their own hands. Kasi kung ganito na lang ang nangyayari, kung ganito na lang kasama, edi magkasamaan na lang tayo. Yun yung probably temptation behind the situation. And here comes David, King David, in this psalm, cries the concern of his people to the Lord. Friends, I think such situation is also true sa panahon natin ngayon. What do you do when you are oppressed by evil and treated unjustly? Our psalm this afternoon will speak to this question. It is my prayer that as we go through this psalm, our hearts would rejoice and take comfort to the fact that God's judgment will make things right. Christians, take heart. Sufferings and injustices are momentary. God's judgment is a certainty. Christians, take heart or be strong. Sufferings and injustices sa mundo na ito ay panandalian lamang. Ang hustisya ng Panginoon ay tiyak na darating. We have three headings for this passage. Number one, cry of the weary, verse 1. Number two, crimes of the wicked, verses 2 to 11. And number three, confidence of the weak, verses 12 to 18. Number one, cry of the weary. Look at verse 1. Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Clearly, David here is weary sa kanyang kalagayan o sa sitwasyon ng kanyang sambayanan. Parang sinasabi niya, Lord, sa lahat ng nakikita kong kasamaan, paghihirap, kawalang katarungan, nasaan ka na? Parang if I were to roughly paraphrase yung question. Kitang-kita yung kasamaan na nangyayari dito, yung mga matitino, naaapi, yung mga mayayaman, lalong yung mayaman, corrupt. Lord, ano nangyayari dito? As we say it in Dubai, what is this? It seems that God is not active, not involved, silent. God's people are oppressed. There is evil everywhere, and God's name is put to shame. Remember, David here is not asking why dahil nanganganib ang kanyang buhay, or he is in an immediate danger. Hindi niya tinatanong, bakit nangyayari sa akin to Lord? That's not the question he is asking. He was asking why because he was witnessing the faithful suffer injustices from the hands of the wicked. At sa personal and even theological na pagkakilala niya sa Panginoon, he knows that a righteous judge, a holy righteous judge, would act. And so he asks. This is a bold question. Pero hindi po nangangahulugan na si David ay nagre-reklamo o kini-question ang kakayanan o abilidad ng Panginoon nung tinanong niya ito. But he is very much affected by the evil around him that he wants God to righteously act now. Kind of yung situation ni Habakkuk na inaral natin last year. If you would remember Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 3. Sinabi ni Habakkuk, "Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Why? Because he knows Yahweh will not tolerate sin." And this echoes sa lips ni David, "Lord, kilala kita eh. Bakit nangyayari ito? Nasaan ang pagkilos mo?" Friends, maring hindi natin naranasan ang lubusan o lubusan na uunawaan yung magnitude na nararamdaman ni David dito sa mga injustices sa paligid niya. Pero, what do you do if someone is unjust sa'yo? What do you do if someone is unjust to you? Anong gagawin mo kung ang supervisor o ang manager mo ay unjust sa'yo? Hindi binigay ang salary package na napagkasunduan ninyo. Nag-apply ka, praise God, nakapasa. May certain package na inaantay. Pagdating sa trabaho, wala yung salary na nabinanggit sa kontrata. O hindi, marahil hindi binigay, matagal ka na nagtatrabaho sa kumpanya, tapos 3 buwan na, wala pa rin sahod. Anong gagawin natin? Hindi, o yung isa, hindi binigay yung salary package. Ito, hindi binigay ang salary. May mas lalala pa rin, Pastor? May, siguro. Yung isa naman, pinangakong may trabaho, hanggang ngayon, hindi binigay yung trabaho. What would you do when people who you call your friends start to gossip you, start to slander behind you, in your office? You took break from your work, punta ka ng pantry to get coffee, and all of a sudden, nandun yung mga kaibigan mo, nung nakita ka biglang, they were shocked because nandun ka. And part of the back of your mind, you're thinking, ako ang pinag-uusapan nito. Anong gagawin mo when the person who you trusted the most had betrayed you, left you for someone else? What do you do when injustice invades your life? For David, he cried. He cried to the Lord. May 2 bagay tayo na pwedeng matutunan sa verse 1. Unang-una, mga kaibigan, hindi kawalan ng pananampalataya kung aaminin natin na nasasaktan tayo. Let me say that again. Hindi kawalan ng pananampalataya kung aaminin natin na nasasaktan tayo. To admit that you are hurting or suffering does not mean you do not have faith. Does that make sense? It's okay to be hurt. It's okay to cry. Especially when you are faced with evil. Meron tayong mga maling paniniwala kasi na dapat ayusin ho natin. Na kapag Kristiyano ka, hindi ka dapat malungkot. Kapag Kristiyano ka, dapat lagi ka nakangiti. Kapag Kristiyano ka, dapat hindi ka umiiyak kasi ang buhay ng Kristiyano ay masayang tunay. Some of that part that's true, I would say. Pero ang sinasabi po dito, dapat hindi ka umiiyak, dapat hindi malungkot dahil Kristiyano ka kasi ang basahan daw ito na kapag ikaw ay malungkot, kapag ikaw ay isang Kristiyanong umiiyak, ang ibig sabihin po niyan, it's either kulang ka ng pananampalataya o wala kang pananampalataya. It's either you have no faith or you have a very weak faith. That's why you're sad. Hindi po totoo yun. Ang tunay na Kristiyano ay umiiyak na tunay. Ang tunay na Kristiyano ay marunong humagulgol. So dapat laging nakangiti daw. Ang problem mo dito, ang maling katuruan, kung ikaw ay tunay na Kristiyano at may naharap na kabigatan, kahit masakit, dapat nakangiti lagi. And because of that, we put on a fake smile. We try to put up a show every Friday afternoon, come into church. Oh, ngiti ka, dapat. Ay, Brad, basta. Ano na yan, parang bumabagsak na yung luha mo. Kahit ngiting-ngiti ka, parang mali. It's okay. Friends, it's okay to say it's not okay. It's okay to say it's not okay. It's okay to say I am hurting. Hindi po ibig sabihin neto wala tayong faith sa Panginoon kapag umamin tayo. Hindi po ibig sabihin neto wala kang faith sa Panginoon. Don't deny pain and suffering in order to trust God. We trust Him as we go through pain and suffering. Ikalawa, hindi kawala ng pananampalataya kung tayo nagtatanong sa Panginoon. Minsan takot tayo magtayo ko mang question sa Panginoon, and that's true. Pero let me unpack this kasi kailangan ko ingatan yung part na to. Now, hindi po ito yung pangingwestiyon sa kakayanan o kabutihan ng Diyos. O kaya naman inaakusahan natin siya sa ating tanong. Hindi po yun yung sinasabi ko. Hindi po ito pagtatanong ng walang pagtitiwala sa Kanya. Alam ko medyo bold yung question ni David dito, pero nung nagtanong siya sa Panginoon, David never lose his convictions about God's love sa Kanya. Nung nagtanong siya sa Panginoon, he never lose his faith on God's sovereignty, that He is in control. When he was asking questions sa Panginoon, he never lose his trust in the Lord. All of them are still intact. When you ask God these questions, pareho ng kay David, kailangan natin maunawaan, mga kaibigan, na una-una kapag tayo magtatanong sa Panginoon, is tao tayo. Siya Diyos. Finite tayo, may limitasyon. Siya infinite. At it is a little bit arrogant, well, hindi little bit, it is arrogant to think na when we ask a question sa Panginoon, na we would expect that God is obligated to answer my questions. When Job asked questions, God did not answer his questions. But God showed His glory sa kanya, and he was humbled. We should be suffering, friends, in faith. Kasi sometimes when we are suffering, when we are in pain, the first question we ask is, why? There should be as if yung reason na ibibigay sa'yo, mawawala yung nararamdaman mo. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes, pag hirap na tayo sa situation, bakit? Bakit? Pag binigay naman sa'yo yung dahilan, lalo ka nagalit. Alam mo yun, lalo ka nag-alala. Giving you the answer will not heal you, maybe not all. We should be, when we are suffering and waiting on the Lord, we should be suffering in faith. Remember that word. We should be suffering, or words, suffering in faith. Chris Laresma was married to his wife, was married to Abby in 2008. After a year in their marriage, ngayon lang sila nagkakakilanan, hindi nila ganun kakilala sarili niya. They were immature back then. They always end up fighting. When they were always fighting, they decided na huwag na muna siguro tayo magsama. So naghiwalay po sila a year into the marriage. But the beauty about this, nung year na hindi sila magkasama, both of them heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in two separate occasions. And both came to faith in Jesus Christ. 8 years sila hiwalay. Until in 2016, they started communicating again. And in 2016, nag-renewal sila ng vow. They renewed yung love nila sa isa't isa sa harapan ng Panginoon. And I was there. It was a sweet moment. After 2 years, they decided to join the church plant ng Crossroads Church of Dubai. They were excited. They were so pumped up. Natutulong sila sa new church. But after 2 years ng renewal nila ng vows, Abby became very ill. Doctors found out that she has colorectal cancer. It was devastating. Slowly, Abby's body was weakening. It's such a huge blessing to see that such a young church circled around itong couple na to, showing Christ's love to them. During Abby's last days, I remember both of them, si Abby at si Chris, telling me sa hospital bed that both of them are very strong spiritually. And that's the truth. I was hoping to encourage them, but they end up encouraging me. They were spiritually strong. Abby finished strong. The Lord took her home in 2018. The coming months and even hanggang sa isang taon, I met with Chris several times and I still do meet with him. And I know it was not easy para kay Chris, even as I speak. But I can tell, after having conversations with him, Chris Laresma was suffering in faith. He was suffering in faith. Yes, he questioned. He is hurting. He cried. But Chris and Abby never accused God of wrongdoing. Never doubted His love. Never doubted His goodness. Never doubted His power. Never lost their faith. Abby and Chris were suffering in faith. Friends, are you hurting right now? Are you hurting right now because of the evil and injustice that was done sa life mo? It's okay to be hurt. It's okay to cry. This gives brothers and sisters opportunity to circle around you and love you and let you experience the love of Christ. Make sure, friends, that you are suffering in faith. David cries out to the Lord, suffered in faith, and trusted Him. Let's look at our second point, because here he gives the face of the oppressors. First, he talked about the oppressed. Now, he talks about the oppressors. Number two, crimes of the wicked. In verses 2 to 11, dinescribe ni David dito in a vivid poetic fashion kung ano ang character ng mga oppressors na ito or yung mga tinatawag na wicked people. Kung mapapansin po natin na napaka-detalyado at specific ang pagkakalarawan ni David yung karakter ng mga wicked na ito. Look at verse 2. They are arrogant that hotly pursues the poor. Verse 3. They are greedy for gain. Verse 4. He does not seek God. Verses 5 to 6. He thinks he is untouchable. Walang makakagalaw sa akin. Verse 7. His mouth filled with cursing and lying and oppressions. So verses 8 to 10 naman, in a poetic way, he describes how he takes advantage of the poor. Ang pagkakalarawan niya nga dito, para ka nanonood ng sine. Kung mahilig ka manood ng National Geographic na kung saan yung tipong may nagsasalitong parang Africa na sombrero na nasa gupan. As you can see, yung layo na. You will know what I mean. Let me read to you verses 8 to 10. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his nest. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. David vividly, in HD quality, without reservation, described the sins of the wicked. He called it by its name. Pwede naman niya sabihin na inopress ng mga wicked itong mga tao na ito, period. But he went all few verses just to give you details na ito. Why? He called it by its name. He addressed it boldly. Friends, this is how Scripture describes sin. This is how Scripture addresses sin. Sa salita ng Diyos, ang kasalanan ay kasalanan. It's dark. It's gross. It's dangerous. And should be addressed. Friends, when we are confronted by evil, or if we see sin, especially in the lives of our family members, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we do not shy away from it. We do not neglect it. We do not turn our backs on it. We don't make light of it. We face it head on. We call sin by its name. We don't sugarcoat yung sin na nakikita natin, but we do address this humbly, with sensitivity, and with love. But we don't back away pag may nakikita tayong kasalanan sa buhay ng mga mahal natin na kailangan i-address. Friends, what sins do you see growing in the character and lifestyle of your loved ones right now? Let me ask that again. What sins do you see growing in the character and lifestyle of your loved ones right now? Have you addressed it? Or have you once again dismissed it? Friends, what sinful character and lifestyle do others see in your lifestyle and in your character? Ano naman ang kasalanan ang nakikita nila sa karakter mo at sa pamumuhay mo? Have you addressed it, yung sin mo? Or have you, once again, justified it? Friends, the problem with sin, if not addressed early on, it will grow. It will take deeper roots. It will unintentionally and intentionally hurt loved ones. And it will oppose God. Such is the wicked man na dinidescribe dito. That's why David gave four characteristics of this wicked man. Unang-una, he is arrogant. Mayabang, arrogante. Verse 2, in arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Verse 3, for the wicked boasts for the desires of his soul. Pinagmamalaki pa niya ang mga makasasalanan niyang mga hangarin. Verse 5 to 6 gives us a picture of what type of arrogance na meron ba itong mga mamang ito. Mabasahin ko sa inyo. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high. Out of his sight, as for all his foes, he puffs at them. Verse 6, he says in his heart, I shall not be moved throughout all generations. I shall not meet adversity. Ano ibig sabihin yan? In short, ito ang sinasabi niya. Sa sobrang taas ng tingin niya sa sarili niya, he would look up to heavens and he will say, nothing will happen to me. I am untouchable. Walang makakapagpabagsak sa akin. I am powerful. Bakit kamo? Because there's nothing happening to me. So he was arrogant. Number two, he is also greedy. Sakim. And the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. Nasa verse 3 po yan. Hindi pa siya nakontento sa mga meron niya. So ang ginagawa po niya, pinagmamalaki pa niya yung mga gusto niyang magkaroon. Yung mga bagay na gusto niya pang maatim. Pero ito po ang mga masakit po dito eh. Ganun na po siya, arrogante na, sakim pa, nang aagrabyado pa na ibang tao, which is mamaya pag-usapan natin yon. Ang masakit pa rito is yung verse 5. Ano yung sa verse 5? His ways prosper all times. Kahit siya ay sakim, nang aapi ng iba, nang aabuso ng mga mahihirap at mga mahihina, he still prospers. Di ba, usually nasa isip natin, pag masamang tao yan, babagsak yan, biglang yung mayaman pa lalo, lalong sumisikat. Lalong bumabango yung pangalan kahit alam na alam mo ang kabulukan. Ano nangyayari rito? So, now you know what David feels. Where are you, God? How come you far? Lord, I know what's going on here. Where are you? He's arrogant. He's greedy. Third, he is oppressive. Ito yung nabanggit natin kanina. Nakita natin yan sa verse 7, 8 to 11. He is a man of oppression. He loves picking on the weak. Fourth, and I'm going to borrow this term, he is a functional atheist. Okay? So, first of all, what is an atheist? Atheists are people who do not believe that there is a God, period. Or anything about demons and anything related to religion or spiritualism. So, atheists, they don't believe in a superior being. Pero, what does it mean when you say, he is a functional atheist? Now, hindi sa hindi naniniwala sa Diyos yung mga wicked na ito. Actually, naniniwala sila sa Diyos. Wala lang siyang pakialam sa kanya. Yun lang po yun. Kaya nga ginawa akong functional atheist and I'll explain that later. Tingnan niyo yung verse 3. He renounces the Lord. Ano yung sabihin niyan? Sa magandang balitang Biblia, sinabi, si Yahweh ay nilalait niya. So, he does believe in Yahweh. Kasi Lord ang ginamit dyan. Lord is the covenant name of God. Could be yung mga nanglalait na yun are Israelites who are rebellious against God. Tingnan natin verse 11 and verse 13. 11, he says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Verse 13, why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? Dahil nga sa yabang neto, paniwalang paniwala siya na hindi siya papatawa ng hustisya ng Panginoon. Oh, nandiyan naman ang Diyos. Pero hindi naman niya nakikita. Namang yamang ko ngayon, no? Pero mo, wala namang walang nakakapagpabagsak sa akin. Ang tingin niya sa Diyos ay hindi nakikita ang kanyang ginagawa. At mas pinatibay pa ito, kagaya ng aking nabanggit, sa lalo niyang successful and prosperous na sitwasyon. Kaya mas gagawin niya ang mga gusto niya sa paraan na gusto niya. Ito po ang problema sa functional atheism. Minsan, we function as Christians, we function in our lives na as if parang walang Diyos na magja-judge sa atin. That's a functional atheist. Now, we think that we can just live our lives na parang walang Diyos, that's one, at walang Diyos na nagpaparusa. That's a functional atheist. The wicked man is convinced that God is not going to judge him because he was prospering. And we have a tendency to think the same way. We sometimes live our own lives the way we wanted kasi nga it seems to harbor prosperity and success. And that's true, isn't it? We know may mga ginagawa tayong hindi tama sa harapan ng Diyos, pero bakit yan? Wala pa naman ang huhuli. Hindi pa naman ako sumasabit eh. Tsaka isa pa, marami naman kabutihan na gagawa to eh. And then we become functional atheists. Sa trabaho, we might sound this way. Sa trabaho, we will work the way we want to work kahit nandadaya at nagnanakaw na tayo. Why? Kasi, Pastor, okay lang kasi nakaka-deliver naman ako at maganda ang results. Isa pa tinan mo, na-promote ako. And we feel na yung we associate wealth and success to God's blessing. Kahit sa maling kapamamaraan natin nakuha ito. Sa relasyon naman, itutuloy ko na lang ang mga maling relasyon na ito o yung ginagawa naming mali sa loob ng relasyon na ito. Tutal, wala naman kaming sinasaktan. At isa pa, wala naman nakakaalam. We try, yan ang functional atheist, we try to live our own lives as if walang Diyos na nakatingin sa atin na kukusgahan tayo isang araw. This is the problem with this. We live, think, and speak as if God is not going to judge. Friends, we pray that we would soak our minds and our hearts sa scriptures nang sa gayon hindi tayo makalimot that there is a God who will one day judge. God, let us guard one another towards this lifestyle. Number three and last. First, we talked about the cry of the weary, the crimes of the wicked, and number three, the confidence of the weak. So, we just talked about yung, it seems like the bad guys are winning, right? Well, no, they're not. Because may confidence yung mga faithful ng Panginoon. May confidence sila sa Panginoon. Verse 12 to 18. David first cries out to the Lord because he was confused. Because yung faithful are being oppressed. Then he talks about the evil oppressor. And now he gives an amazing prayer. Ito ang magandang prayer na ginawa niya. Let's read verse 12 to 16. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you will not call to account? But you do see. I love that part. Lord, you do see. It's kind of a contrast na sinabi ng wicked na, hindi nakikita ng Panginoon. Ah, God sees. Yan sinasabi sa verse 14. But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Verse 15. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till find none. Verse 16. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from your hand. 17. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their hearts. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the opposed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. This is the heart cry ni David sa passage na ito. First, he asks the questions, then he talks about the evil oppressor, and now he prays that God would come and make things right. Lord, make things right. Ay, few things na matututunan po natin sa passage. First of all, God does not forget the helpless. God doesn't forget the helpless. He has not forgotten about them. Verse 14, but you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take into your hands to the helpless commits himself. You have been a helper of the fatherless. Verse 17, O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear. Verse 18, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that the man of the earth may strike terror no more. Our God, make it his personal cause to help the fatherless and the afflicted, to help the helpless, to love the unlovable, to give justice to the oppressed. God does not forget the helpless. Mga kaibigan, hindi kayo nakalimutan ng Diyos. Hindi niya makakalimutan yung ginagawang oppression sa inyo ngayon. Be encouraged. Second, lahat ng oppressions na ito will put to an end. God will put an end to the injustices of the world. That is why David is praying for. Yan ang pinagpipray talaga niya. That God would end all injustices. That God would end all suffering. That God will end all pain. That's his prayer. That God would end all evil and hurts and destruction. That God would end all sin. Yun ang prayer niya. Verse 12, arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. That's his prayer request. He's asking God to come and exercise his judgment and to make the wrong things right. That is his prayer. The imagery of his prayer here is that God would break the power. You break yung arm. It's an imagery that God would break the power at saka yung stronghold ng wicked. Lord, judge him. Yun ang prayer niya. The Lord will break all the arrogant, the wicked, the boastful, the greedy, the oppressive, the abusive. Brothers and sisters, this is our hope because there will be coming a final judgment na lahat will be made right. There is a judge who does not forget. His judgment is perfect, it's holy, it's righteous. There's so many countries sa panahon natin ngayon na restricted access ang gospel, na kung saan ang mga pastor ay kinikidnap, tapos hindi na binabalik sa kanilang pamilya, yung mga church buildings ay sinusunog, church members kinukulong, tinotorture at pinapatay. Hindi lang ho sa Bible times, and there are countries na ganun pa rin po ang ginagawa. And we are blessed to have such peace sa bansa na ito. Many face persecutions. Mga kaibigan, maaaring wala tayong ganitong klaseng kondisyon na persecution, ano? As all of us are walking faithfully in the Lord, you are faithfully sharing the gospel and trying to be a good witness, probably ang persecution where you're being mocked by people. Pinagtatawanan ka dahil Christian-Christian ka. Maybe you're verbally abused because of your faith. Or even you lost certain friends because of what you believe. The Apostle Paul gives us a reminder and an encouragement. Binasa ito ni Marte kanina sa Romans chapter 12:14 hanggang 19. I would like you to open your Bibles in that page. Romans 12:14. It's in page 7 sa bulletin ninyo. As you go there, I will read. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Verse 18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. This is an echo of last week's sermon on God's vengeance. Paul is giving both, sa passage sa Romans 12, a passive at saka active commands. Passive and active commands. Now, tingnan po natin to. Passive, verse 14, do not curse those who persecute you. Wala kang gagawin. Ibig sabihin ng passive. Verse 17, repay no evil for evil. Beloved, verse 19, never avenge yourself. So kapag if you're experiencing injustices, if you're experiencing a tyrant na kung saan pinahihirapan ka, don't curse them, huwag mong bawian, huwag mong suklian yung kasamaan. I love yung part na yan, verse 17, kung titingnan ninyo. Repay no evil for evil. I was reading this nung mabilis ka ng this week, ano, pero nung I went slower, parang something makes sense. Ang sinasabi niya rito is, kapag ginantihan mo yung nagkasala sa iyo, ang point din diyan is nagkakasala ka. Kung kasalanan ang ginawa sa iyo at babawian mo, siguradong kasalanan din ang gagawin mo. Walang ganting hindi kasalanan. Kung motive mo is to get back. Kasi kung titingnan mo sa verse 17, repay no evil for evil. Which means kung gaganti ka, sigurado kasalanan yan. So why magaganti? That's the passive. Active naman, if you're being oppressed, imbis na gantihan mo, verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Show kindness. Verse 17, give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. So ano ibig sabihin nun? Kahit sinaktan o pinahiya ka, this verse is saying, be careful to do kung ano ang tama sa harapan ng tao. Why? Because they're watching. Why? Because they know you are Christian. Paano ba maggalit ang Christian? Tingnan, subukan natin. That's why people are shocked. Have you ever hear people say this to you when you snapped? Sasabihin siya, hala ko ba Christian ka? That's true, ain't it? Sometimes we're not Christ-like when we respond. Paul knows na hindi possible to be at peace kasi sabi din sa verse 18, if possible, so far, it depends on you, live peaceably with all. But still, Paul encourages to be reconciled. Verse 19, leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. Iwan niyo sa Panginoon. Okay, Pastor, eto ang totoo. Hindi madaling hindi gumante. Yan ang totoo. Okay? We are in a work, Pastor, hindi mo naintindihan, we are in a work environment or we are in a campus na kung saan kapag hinayaan mong ganyan-ganyanin ka na lang ng mga tao, eh, tutulak-tulak ka na lang yan. Aabusuhin ka naman yan. Well, I understand. We Christians should not be doormats. I'm not saying that. But there is wisdom and discernment on how to respond. Okay? There's discernment and wisdom on how to respond to show na kapag tayo ay nami-mistreat. Of course, there is a company, there's company policies. Pag may nang gagawa sa inyo, you go directly to the process. If you're in school, you go to your principal or dean. There's certain process para hindi magpatuloy ang kasamaan. I'm not saying don't stop evil. What I'm saying, don't return evil for evil. But if we are to respond to the oppressor in the same magnitude that we have received from them, then we need to be careful and show and should leave room sa wrath ng Panginoon. Pastor, I still would like to plea yung aking argument. Ang hirap niyan. Bihira ako nakakakilala ng tao na hindi gumaganti kahit sa maliit na paraan. Ibig sabihin, pati sa pag-iisip. If that is you, if you're talking to me, if you're thinking that way, I would say that is true. Bihira. If not, wala. Because by our sinful nature, we are the oppressors. We boast. Tayo ang mayabang. We boast all the time about the cravings of our hearts. We are all greedy. We want more. More, Pastor. I want more. More recognition. More material things. More money. More pleasure. More rest days. More vacations. More material things. More fame. We will by all means, by hook or by crook, would like more. Para makuha natin yan. We will do everything. Because we're arrogant. We are selfish and boastful. We are, friends, we are the wicked. We are the evildoer, ng Psalm 9, who act and talk as if there is no God who will judge. Friends, be warned, because God is King forever. And one day we will face Him, and He has seen everything na ginawa nating tama at mali. And He does not forget. He will bring us all to account sa lahat ng nagawa nating mali. And if we are not right with God, He will break us to eternity. But friends, there is hope. God sent His hope. He sent a man to help us get right with God. He healed. He raised people from the dead. He taught a message of reconciliation. This man, of course, we know to be Jesus. But in return, evil and wicked men persecuted and cursed him and did all evil against him, but he did not repay evil for evil. He was nailed on a criminal's cross, but he did not take revenge or curse them. He stayed, friends, he stayed on the cross. Friends, he stayed on the cross in order to receive the full anger or wrath of God sa kanya para sa atin. If Christ left that cross, we are hopeless. He received the full wrath of God to the point of death. And the beauty of this, he has risen from the grave. Friends, this is another thing to rejoice with, because that God, listen, God not only judges sin, but God has judged your sin in Christ and not you. Yun yung beauty that we can rejoice and be encouraged about when we go through all of these injustices. And one day Jesus will come back and he will no longer be the suffering servant. Kundi, he is going to be the dreadful judge. And he will come for his people. Friends, if you're not sure if your sins have been forgiven, kung hindi mo alam kung pinatawad na ng Panginoon ang iyong kasalanan, hindi mo alam kung talaga bang may relasyon ka kay Kristo, I urge you, as you hear the gospel of hope, repent from your sins, trust in Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. If you reject Jesus, hanggang ikaw ay mamatay, which hindi natin alam kung kailan, then this Jesus is a dreadful judge to you. Friends, we take comfort that God will judge the oppressors and will make things right one day. We rejoice in the fact that He will destroy sin and His enemies. My prayer, as we are moved forward out of this place, that in the midst of suffering and injustices, we would suffer in faith, would rejoice and take comfort in the fact that God's judgment will make things right na mali sa buhay natin. Because Christians take heart. We must take heart because the sufferings and injustices na dinaranasan natin ngayon are momentary. And God's judgment is an absolute certainty. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Father, nagpapasalamat po kami na all of these sufferings na niraranasan namin because of evil, lahat ng mga scars na iniwan ng tao sa amin emotionally and mentally, lahat ng mga injustices na hindi na naresolbahan o nawala ng hindi nabigyan ng hustisya, we know one day, Lord, one day, maaayos po lahat yan. And we know when you execute your judgment, we will be satisfied. So I pray, Father, that we would rejoice also that we were not going to be judged. Kundi si Christ had judged for us sa aming kasalanan. Will you refresh these thoughts in our memories as we feel the pain and agony of our suffering this week? May we suffer in faith. May we suffer faithfully for Christ's sake. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.